All right, folks, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Now, as we've been going through James, we've been looking at the whole issue of trying to live our everyday lives with Jesus. And he's talked about a lot of different things so far. When we got into chapter 4 the last time, he talked about the frustration that you and I live under because we strive to get what we want and we get frustrated because we don't get it. And it ends up causing quarrels. It ends up causing problems for us. We lose sleep. And the reality is he basically expressed to us in verse 5 that he longs for a relationship with you and I. He longs to have intimacy with you and that he lifts up the humble. Okay, so that's where we ended the last time we talked in James. Now, if you process that, I guess the question is, do you really want to have a relationship with him? The God of the universe who created everything wants to have an intimate relationship with you. And with me. The question is, do we want that? Now, you might be saying, yeah, I do, George, but I don't know what to do to get that. That's usually the typical response, right? I want it, but I don't know how. I want it, but what do I need to do? What do I need to do, right? The wonderful thing about the scripture is the scripture, I think it's such a blessing that the Bible just doesn't tell you to do something. It tells you how to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? When he's calling you to do something, he's going to tell you how to do it. He's going to tell you how to get close to him. So here we are. We've been told that God longs to have a relationship with you. Let that sink in for a moment. God longs to have a relationship with you. When you think about that, you're like, whoa, wait a minute now. So he wants to have the, how do I have that? He tells us. Now, what I want you to think about is, okay, as we get ready to look at this passage where he tells us, you need to decide, do you want this? Because it's going to require something from you. What do you mean? I just need to have faith. No. It's going to require something from you. Because he just says he lifts up, he exalts the humble, right? Verse 6, he lifts up the humble. It's pride that usually causes us to have a problem in our relationship with God. So you got to do something about the pride. You got to do something about yourself wanting stuff. Because again, remember, that if we talk about the beginning of chapter 4, that's where we have all the frustrations. That's where the quarrels come from. That's where all the bad stuff that happens. Because I think I know I'm right. And it's not that I think I know I'm right. I am right. And then what I want is what I want. And that just leads to problems. So let's take a look at this together. We're just going to look at verses 7 through 10. Just four verses. And here's what I want you to notice. Here's what he writes. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. All right, so here's what we're going to do, folks, because this is going to talk about getting closer to God. And we can basically divide this into two sections. We're going to talk about the call to action. So there are going to be three distinct things that you and I need to do. If we want to get closer to him, three things. But then we're also going to see in the second part that we need to have a proper mindset. And he's going to talk about what you and I need to do for the proper mindset. So we're going to talk about what we need to do, and we're going to talk about the mindset that we need to have to do it. Okay? So let's take a look. First of all, I want you to notice with me as we look about the call to action, I want you to notice with me what verse 7 says. Very clear. Verse 7 says this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You want to get close to him? Submit to him. Here's the point. You have to decide to submit to what God wants for your life. You and I, can I be just be honest? We are faced with the decision daily, do I do what I want to do or do I do what God's telling me or asking me to do? That literally is in every decision we make every day. Usually when we do what we want to do, that results in what? Sin. Doing the wrong thing, making wrong decisions, leaving him out, striving back earlier in the chapter, trying to get what I want and getting frustrated and ending up quarreling with other people. The decision you and I have to make is, who am I going to listen to? That's a good question, right? So you got two options of who you can listen to, okay? You can listen to yourself, and that's not necessarily a good choice, because here's the thing, you can deceive yourself. You can decide, well, I'm going to do this because I think that this is going to be the outcome. I think that this is going to be the result. This is going to help me to achieve what I want. Now, does that always turn out that way? No, because there's a lot of times I make decisions. I regret making decisions, right? How many of you have regrets for some of your decisions, right? And you wish that, man, I wish I could go back and change, because if I didn't make that decision, I wouldn't have that problem now. So that's one choice. Do you go with you or do you go with God? Who, by the way, let's just remind ourselves, when we talk about going with God, let's answer some questions. Does he love you? Yes. Does he want what's best for you? Yes. Does he tempt you to sin? Does he want to do evil to you? No. When he tells you to do something, whether it's not do something or do something, is it always for your best interest? Yes. So let me ask you something. Am I going to go with me? If I'm making a decision about what to do, or am I going to go with what God tells me to do? And I'm going to submit to one or the other. Pride wants me to go with myself. But if I go with what God says, I have to humble myself. That's the first thing. The first thing is you make the decision to what? Do what God wants for your life. Now let's talk about the second thing we need to do. Look again, verse 7. Second part of verse 7. Here's what he says. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Pretty simple. What's going on here? You must resist the efforts of the Satan to defeat you. You've got to resist it. You've got to make a decision. I'm not going to do what he wants me to do. But you say, I'm living each day. I don't care what he wants from me. Yeah, but you still give in. Because his ways of getting you to do what he wants you to do are multitude. I can break them down into three categories. The enemy will attack you in three different ways to get you to do things. He doesn't have to possess you. First of all, he can't possess you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the enemy cannot possess you, but he can still have influence over you. How does he influence you to do wrong decisions, make wrong choices, end up sinning? How does he do that? Three ways. First way, we obviously know what? Temptation. He tempts you. How does he know how to tempt you? He's observed you all of your life. He knows what your desires are. He whispers desires into your mind. Tempt you. Now, here's the second way. Second way is accusation. He accuses you. What does he accuse me of? When you gave into that last temptation and you sinned, he comes along and says, you're not a good Christian. God doesn't love you. The reality is he accuses you of being less than now, and that defeats you. Here's the third way. He lies to you. He's a liar and a thief. He wants to rob you of joy. So again, telling you what things that are wrong about God or wrong about the reality of your salvation, that you're not good enough, that you're not accepted. Those are lies that Christians believe. He attacks you in those ways. You and I need to understand that. When we understand that those are the ways that he attacks us, you can resist him. And here's the fact that the scripture is telling you from James. You resist him, he what? Flees from you. But it's important that you understand him. In fact, listen to this. This is a parallel passage I'm giving you. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Here's what Paul says. So that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. Paul is saying so that we're not outwitted, so that we're not deceived, so that we're not led astray. We know how he operates, folks. You now know how he operates. What? Temptation, accusation, lies. Let me stop for a moment, help you to correct a lie. When you are convicted of your sin, there's a difference between conviction and accusation. You need to understand that. The Spirit of God convicts. Why? Because he wants you to come to what? A new relationship with the Lord and find forgiveness through repentance. If you're being accused, that's Satan. In fact, have you noticed you may have gone to the Lord and found forgiveness for your sins, but you still keep wrestling with what you did 20 years ago? Those are accusations. That's where the devil wants you to live. So you got to understand. You got to understand and resist him. First thing, submit to him. Second thing, what? Resist the devil. Because if you don't, you're going to end up sinning. Here's the third thing. Look with me at verse 8. Here's what he says. Verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Folks, that's a promise. That is a promise. So here's what I want you to see. You must draw near to God knowing that he will draw near to you. You have to draw near to him. Listen, if you want to, if you don't mind underlining your Bible, maybe put an asterisk by it. That is so important because he's saying to you, remember, he just told you in verse 5, I long to have a relationship with the Spirit that is within you. He longs for this. So of course he's going to say, draw near to me. And of course he's going to promise you, if you draw near to me, I'm going to what? I'm going to draw near to you. Now, Satan, what does he do? He tells you, no, God's not going to. God's holding you at a distance. Really? Really? There are no stepchildren with God. Do you understand? He will draw near to you. In fact, let me just read to you a promise that Jeremiah gave to the exiles in Babylon from the Lord. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 12 through 14. He says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. That's awesome, isn't it? So how do we get near to him? Here's the actions. Three things. Submit, resist, draw near. You say, okay, George, let's go. We're done. End of service. Pray and we're done. No, no. You got to have a mindset if you're going to do those three things. And this is where people get confused, because what he's going to share in the latter part of verse 8 through verse 10, it almost seems unreal, but look at what he's saying, and that's why I'm here today, is to help you to understand. How do we get this mindset? It's really a mindset, are you ready for this? Of brokenness. You've got to be broken. No, and it makes sense, right? Because He lifts up the humble. But if I've got a problem with my pride and my pride has been leading me in this direction and my pride has been keeping me from getting close to him, I've got to be broken of my pride so that he can lift me up. Now, how do I do that? Well, I've got several things I want to show you here. First of all, I want you to notice with me verse 8. Here's what he says. Second part of verse 8. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. First thing you got to do is this. Deal with the sin in your life and come clean with God. When he talks about cleansing your hands, that's not going to the bathroom and using the soft soap there and saying, okay, did I get enough off? Did I get enough off? I'm okay with you, Lord. My hands are washed. No. It's a picture here of you cleansing yourself from your sin, which means you go to him in confession and repentance and what? God, I'm wrong. I've been doing wrong. I've sinned. It's coming clean with him, not just, and let's be honest, folks, we're good at confessing. It's like you get caught by your mother with a hand in the cookie jar. Yes, I was in the cookie jar. But guess what? The next opportunity comes, you got your hand back in the cookie jar, right? That's just confession. It has to go beyond confession where there's a change of mind which leads to a change of action. That's repentance. So you deal with it and you come clean with him. Because here's what we do. We'll go to prayer and we'll act like everything's okay, but yet we know there's that one thing we did wrong, but we're not going to talk to him about it. Look, seriously, you're not going to talk to him? He already knows about it? It's the elephant in the room, right? So you got to have a mindset where you deal with your sin and you come clean with God. Here's the other thing. This is important since we tend to be double-minded. What? Folks, I hate to say it, even if you're a believer and you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, you struggle with double-mindedness. Why? Because remember, I told you, when we talked about the issue of submitting to God, you got to make a choice, right? A choice between what I want and a choice between what God wants. The fact is, most of us live in that, ooh, which one do I choose? That's double-mindedness. That's double-mindedness. We've got to break ourselves of having this one or the other mentality. It should be, what do you want me to do, God? I'm going to do it, rather than what do I want right now versus what God wants later. And let's be honest, what we want is always the more important one, right? And he's telling us, don't do that. We tend to be double-minded. Listen to what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He's telling us, the writer of Hebrews here, this is how you approach him. You approach him not with double-mindedness, but you approach him cleansed, repentant, seeking him. I would say for most of us here, this is where we trip up. We've got the confession thing down. Repentance, we may be working on that. But the fact of the matter is, what's keeping you and I from being close to the Lord is we're double-minded. Let's just be honest. We're not wholehearted, what do you want me to do, Lord? We still have ourselves in there and what we want. And it depends on the day, right? Depends on the day and what's going on as to how strong that feeling is. But what he's calling us to is to have a mindset where we're wholehearted to him. Cleanse, our minds are right because we're seeking after him. There's one more thing. Let's notice it, verse 9. Here's what he says. You're like, what in the world is he saying here? Look at verse 9. Be wretched, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Whoa, what is he saying there, George? Look at what he says. Be wretched. I don't know that I could do that, George. Why? I know why. First of all, he's not asking you to be breaking down blubbering in church. Because I wouldn't do that. Well, sometimes through the years that has happened because God made people do that. But the reason why we wouldn't do that is one word, pride. We don't want anybody to see us like this. But God's saying, I want to see you like this. Why? Here's the point. Consider the reality of your sin and mourn. That's really the issue here. That's really the bottom line issue, is that we don't really think about what we've done wrong that we've confessed. We don't sit around and consider the implications of what our wrong decision or action resulted in. Now, sometimes we're confronted with it, and at that moment, we kind of realize it. But the reality is, most of us, we just blow and go. We just go ahead and do it. Don't consider the consequences. We trample on our relationships. We say mean things to people. We do whatever, and it's like, whoa, whatever, you know. God forgives me. I'll just go on. He wants us to mourn. He wants us to be wretched. He wants us to be broken. Not prideful. I've told you guys many times, there is a difference. I've been walking with Jesus for 40 years. There was a difference in the first part of my life as a believer and the second part. I had so much pride that I would be judgmental of people. But now I realize the evil of my own heart and the wickedness of myself, that I really can't get with people and judge them. I just have to help them because I realize, there but for the grace of God go I, as George Whitefield once said. This is reality. You've got to consider the reality of your own sin. If you want to submit to him, if you want to resist the enemy, if you're going to draw near to him, you've got to consider and mourn over your own sin. This is what he's talking about here. You've got to mourn over it. But can I be honest, we're in a Christianity today where, okay, God just loves you for everything. Come with your garbage and everything and be happy in Jesus. No, God wants us to be broken. In fact, if you're praying for revival, there will be no revival until there's brokenness. Do you understand? Until there's a desperate need for God in your life. This is reality. So let's go on. Let's go on. Verse 9, don't just blow this off and act like everything's okay. That's our tendency. Don't just blow it off. Yep, everything's going to be all right. Don't do that here. This is what he's saying here in verse 10. Verse 9, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Don't just be, I'm happy. No, you are bothered by who you really are and your need for Jesus. This is the mindset. So that brings us to the last thing I want you to see here is verse 10. Look with me at verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. You want to have the proper mindset? Here it is. When you humble yourself before God, he will exalt you. Now, a couple things there. Humble yourself. What is that? Doing the things he just talked about here with the proper mindset. Coming clean with him. Don't be double-minded. Being mournful over your sin. Being right before him. And humbling yourself and saying, I'm not that good. And dealing with your pride. And what he will do is it will exalt you. He'll lift you up. Now, let me just stop for a moment because there's some that'll say, oh yeah, he'll bless you with big fat bank accounts and health. No, that's not what he's talking about exaltation here. He's going to bless you with the relationship with him. I mean, let me tell you something. There are times when, I just saw one this morning, when he answers, there's joy. God, you heard me. You love me. Even in something insignificant that I was praying about. God, I'm yours. Help me the next time to make the right decision. Not do it myself, but trust you. Humble yourself, and he will exalt you. Now, here it is. Let's close it up. Let's go back to the question I asked earlier. Do you want to get close to him? Ask yourself that question. Do you want to get close to him? Because it's going to require something from you. It's going to require you swallowing your pride and placing yourselves completely in his hands. Because you know that he only wants what's best for you, even in the tough decisions he tells you to do. Because sometimes he tells you to do stuff that you don't want to do. But even in that, you know, God must have a reason, so I'll do this. I'll do this. But the question is, are you willing to do it? So let me ask you another question. Are you tired of living the way you're living right now? Being double-minded and frustrated and aggravated and wondering why doesn't God do this? And why, you know, are you tired of that? There's a better way. You can get closer to him, but the issue is you've got to decide to use a biblical phrase, die to yourself. Die to yourself and find your life in him. In fact, I was reading that in my Bible reading plan. We're reading through Matthew. If you seek your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life, Jesus said, you'll what? Find it. This is the reality. This is what's available to us. But the choice is yours. I can't make it for you. I can only make the choice myself. So let's pray that we all make the right choices, right? Let's pray.